Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God we consider today is from the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." Back in June in Thailand, 12 boys and their soccer coach decided to explore a cave after soccer practice. Probably most of you followed that story in the news for a week or better. While they were in the cave, there was a sudden, unexpected storm, and it flooded and filled most of the cave, driving them deeper and deeper inside so that they became trapped. They couldn't get out. Some of the passages were completely submerged. So even under normal circumstances, a lot of these boys didn't know how to swim. But these waters were very cold and so murky that no light could penetrate them. Given these circumstances, it's plain to us that they couldn't get themselves out. But they needed someone from outside to come in and rescue them. Why do I bring this up? I think their situation dramatically portrays the whole human condition and what Jesus did when he came for us. Though it may not always be as obvious to us, we also need to be rescued. Our cave is a little bigger. We've made ourselves much more comfortable here. But nonetheless, we are living in a death trap. None of us wants to think about it, but we're all slowly dying. Aside from Jesus and a couple of enigmatic figures from the Old Testament, nobody has made it out of this world alive. Oh, we've done a lot to prolong our lives, to put off death as long as we can, to make life more comfortable for ourselves as our bodies weaken and age and as we break down. But there's still no scientific cure for death. Jesus' entire Bread of Life sermon that takes up John 6, 3 weeks in our cycle of readings, it really has one enemy lurking in the background, and that is death. Think about it. Jesus is the Bread of Life, standing in contrast to death. The one who looks on the Son and believes in him has eternal life. The only remedy for the obvious alternative, eternal death. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The story of the boys in Thailand, in that case, there was an underlying reason why these people needed to be rescued. Something that we don't want to talk about. And of course, in a story like this, with such heroism, it doesn't help to talk about blame or whose fault it was. But the unspoken fact is, yeah, they got themselves into this mess, right? They walked straight into that dangerous situation. And so with us, whose fault is it that we all must die? Nobody wants to talk about this either, but God's word is pretty clear about it. And lest we try to blame everything on Adam, let's see what the book of James tells us. He writes in his epistle, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Each person is responsible, beginning with Adam and Eve, for sure, but going right down to us today. We sin, and so we die. We walked right into that danger. professional cave divers from around the world were gathered to participate in the rescue mission. After 10 days with no food, the first divers finally found the boys huddled together in the cold, dark recesses of the flooded cave. They were on a little rock ledge, huddled together for warmth. And these divers were met with a chorus of thank yous. Help had to come from the outside. Likewise, Jesus came from above into a world that was starving for God's salvation. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The boys couldn't be taken out of the cave right away. They weren't prepared. They didn't have the right equipment. And like I said, they didn't know how to swim. They probably would not have immediately survived the journey had they attempted to get out with the first team of divers. The next day, some divers returned with blankets and food as those on the outside formulated a plan of extraction. And over the next week, volunteers, divers, and Navy SEALs returned each day, bringing more food and taking out one boy at a time. Similarly with us, God chooses not to take us out of the world right away. Instead, he keeps us here. He uses us to tell the good news to others of what God is doing, that there is a rescue plan. We're supposed to bring hope to this dying world. Jesus prayed for his disciples that not that they be taken out of the world, but that they be kept from the evil one. As we remain in the world awaiting the return of Christ, he doesn't abandon us, but he keeps on coming back to us. He returns to us, bringing the nourishment we so desperately need to remain faithful in this vale of tears. He comes to us with the message of hope, the promise of eternal life for all who believe. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. He comes to us bringing food, the bread of life, his own body and blood under bread and wine for us to eat and drink as we await that final rescue. We lay claim to these treasures by faith, faith which assures us that Jesus is ours and we are his. Now, in the midst of that rescue, you might remember that there was a tragedy that struck. The mission claimed the life of a former Navy SEAL. He was given the task of delivering oxygen to those who were still trapped in the cave, and he succeeded in that. Only he didn't bring enough oxygen for his own return journey, and so he suffocated on the way back. Our rescue mission came at a much higher price. The cost was our Savior's life. Jesus knew this would be the culmination of his mission. As he said, "The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." God gave us his only beloved Son, knowing in advance that we would kill him. And it's precisely by laying down his own life, by sacrificing himself, that Christ gave us abundant and eternal life. And interestingly, a victim of crucifixion doesn't die from bleeding out from the holes from the nails, doesn't die from exhaustion or from the pain of it all. But while he's being crucified, in order to breathe, he's got to either push himself up on his pierced feet, or he's got to pull himself up to inhale. And when he's no longer strong enough to hoist himself up to breathe, he dies of suffocation. It would have been considered miraculous had only one or two of those boys made it out of that cave in Thailand alive. But eventually, beyond anybody's hopes or expectations, the divers were able to get all 12 kids and their coach out to safety. Not one was left behind. And Jesus leaves no one behind. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. The Father has drawn you to his Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. He has claimed you as his child in holy baptism. And he will not be content just to save a few of us. His mission is not complete until he brings each and every one of us, put your name in the blank, to safety. That is his promise. When the divers first arrived, those who were trapped at that very moment could say, "We're saved!" Even though they were still in the cave, when they saw that first diver, they knew that there was a rescue mission and that it was inevitable that they would get out. Likewise, because Jesus came down to earth, was lifted up on the cross, and declared, "It is finished," we can say right now, we are saved. Even though we're still living in this fallen world, we know that our rescue is guaranteed. But there's more to come. Having nourishment brought into the cave was crucial. It was life-saving for those boys. But their ultimate hope was that they would get out, that they would see the light of day again. Christ with us is our light in the darkness. His presence in word and sacrament is the crucial nourishment that we need to sustain our souls throughout this life. But we have an ultimate hope. We want to get out. When the first diver made it there and back again, it was just like Jesus' resurrection from the dead. If one diver could navigate those cold and dark, icy waters, then there was hope that the rest would be able to do it too. And if Jesus can navigate death's icy river and come out on the other side alive, then so can all who are baptized into him. We can rely solidly on these words that our Savior says to us, not once in this reading, but three times. "I will raise him up on the last day." And to that we say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise for prayer.